And the first element that affects how we evaluate things is the most important one. And the reason we talk about it and we do it is because it is the seminal or foundational element that affects the way you think, feel, and make decisions. And that is the state you are in. The state you're in. Because the state you're in determines how you evaluate. When you are worried, do you make the same evaluations, the same decisions as when you were feeling totally confident? Yes or no? Absolutely not. When you're feeling loving versus angry, do you make different decisions? Yes or no? So the number one thing that's going to shape all evaluations is the state you're in. Is the single most important thing that's going to affect the way you evaluate in life. That's why I said to you, a decision made from fear is almost always a wrong decision. Right? Now, there are many exceptions to all things. A decision made from fear where it's a fight or flight and emergency, that's probably the right decision. But in relationship, in business, in values, and in life, a decision made from fear is usually the wrong decision because it's a decision based on reaction when you didn't have to react. There are a few places where you have to react. Survival. That's about it. So state massively affects the way we evaluate things, massively. And change of state, change the way you make decisions. The second element was the form of a question. And that is the questions that you ask powerfully shape all your decisions. Now, what is the number of variety of questions you could ask yourself? How many different questions could you ask yourself? It's infinite. But do you ask yourself an infinite diversity of questions, do you think? Yes or no? No. It's been shown that the average human being has roughly 65,000 thoughts a day that they can document. The only problem is that the next day you have roughly 95% of the same 65,000 thoughts as you did the day before. Because human beings are creatures of habit and of pattern. Because patterns provide the ability to make decisions quickly. We don't have to think everything through. So we tend to do the same things again and again. We keep using the same system. What you're going to discover is that you have habitual questions you ask a lot. You ask them most often and they shape you. In fact, one of the most valuable distinctions I've ever made for myself or anybody else is called the primary question. Out of all the questions you ask, there is one singular question that controls your life. How could a question control your life? Well, think about it. What determines how you feel? Two primary things, the way you use your what? Physiology, and also what you focus on. Now, what you focus on can affect your physiology also, can't it? So the truth of the matter is, based upon your life experience, when we talked about model the world, you have certain significant emotional events in life. Based on those significant emotional events, you learn how to meet your needs at some level. In order to do that, you developed a primary question that causes you to constantly focus for those things that will keep you out of the ultimate pain and get you towards the ultimate pleasure based on what you think ultimate pain and pleasure is in your life. The challenge is most of you are not even aware of what this question is consciously, and it totally controls your thoughts every moment in your life. The reason I came up with this is because I kept thinking about there are people that change their values, they change their rules, and they have changes, but then they revert back. And one reason is they didn't condition it. That makes sense, right? But I began to think maybe there's something that overrides all this, and it is your primary question. So for some people, their primary question in life is, what's wrong with me? Well, it doesn't matter how much good they do. It doesn't matter how much success they have. It doesn't matter how many people love them. Ask and you shall what? So if you ask a lousy question, you get a lousy what? It doesn't matter what it is. So this person is always feels screwed up, even though there's nothing wrong with them. Or some people ask questions like, you know, how can I get people to love me? What is the presupposition in that question? They don't love you. So no matter what they do, they're always rushing around trying to please everybody all the time. You know that kind of personality? It's that question that's driving it. When we change the question, we change the focus of your life. When you change the question that you ask consistently, you change the system of living that you experience. You also want to look at the questions you ask day to day. You have some predictable questions you ask in your relationship. Some of you keep asking, like, will this last? And by the way, if you keep asking that question, we can predict. That's a cause set in motion. Does it have an effect on your relationship? Does it have an effect on you emotionally? Does that accumulate and start to create a direction? And does that direction have a predictable destination or destiny? You bet it does. Some of you say, did I settle? Am I really with the right person? You ask those kinds of questions, you have pain. Other people say, how did I get so lucky to get you? Why did God make me so fortunate to find you? You know, those questions, when you keep asking those, do those put a cause in motion? Do they have an effect? Do they create a destination of a great relationship? You bet. So questions are an incredibly powerful lever for shifting the entire quality of any aspect of your life. In your business, the same thing. They're habitual questions. So I want you to notice questions carry with them beliefs. And the problem is most of you don't realize that. See, if you say, how long has it been since you beat your wife? There's a little presupposition in there. Right? And here's how the brain works. The brain's like the ultimate computer. Whatever you ask, it's got to come up with an answer. So even if there isn't an answer, it'll manufacture one. It'll come up with some shading or reference for it. So when you come along and you say, what's wrong with me? The brain doesn't ever stop and say, wait a second, is there anything wrong with me? It just answers the question you give it. And it assumes you know what you're talking about. So it finds some reference to meet it. That's why you got to be so careful the questions you ask. And most of us are completely unconscious in our questions. And worse, we ask the same questions again and again. Therefore, we keep focusing on the same things. Therefore, we keep feeling the same things. Therefore, we keep reacting the same way. Therefore, we go into the same loop, and then other people react to whatever it is we've done, and vice versa. How many follow this? By the way, why questions? These are the really great questions. These are known as endless loop questions. Because it's like, I remember one time this guy, early in my career, I went to Denver, Colorado. I had a promoter that hired me to come in and do a seminar. And I did 5 firewalks in a row every night. Because in those days, I did the whole firewalk. I didn't just teach it, but there was one lane. I was in the front. I put you in state. I walked with you. I sprayed your feet. I came back to the next person. It was pretty intense. I did the whole thing. There were no cops. There was another part of the process to make that work. So I did this thing for 5 days, and then I did this weekend seminar. It was a huge success. And then out of that, I did amazing meeting. NBC covered me. ABC had a huge, huge coverage on a national scale. And then I was supposed to come back like 10 weeks later to another program. People were excited to bring their friends and everything else. And 2 weeks before I'm supposed to go there, I heard there was like tons of people signed up. The promoter calls me up and says, we don't have enough people to put the event on. I'm saying, what? I've heard all these people. He goes, no, they just haven't followed through. They all talked about going, but they're not going through. So he cancels the event with me, which was pretty devastating for me at that point in my career. It was really beginning of my career. I was like 24. 2 weeks later, I'm doing a seminar somewhere else, and somebody comes in and tells me the night before they were in Denver attending my seminar. That the guy that was promoting me, his son, did my seminar. They tape recorded the whole thing. He memorized it word for word. But here's the kicker. He got up, and in those days during the firewalk, I would tell my personal story. And within it, I did embedded commands for certainty within people so they, when they went to walk on the fire, they wouldn't get hurt. And he burned a bunch of people and stuff, right? So there's this big controversy. But he told my story as his life. His son, the man's son, is the one doing the speaking. So he sat back there while his son lied and did my seminar, my whole evening seminar, word for word, including my story. And I went berserk. They owed me like $150,000, which is a lot of money for me back then. And it's like, he cheated me out of $150,000. He did the seminar without me, and they told the participants that I didn't show up, so they were moving ahead with the seminar. Right? I went nuts. Are they insane? And I whipped myself, and I must ask 20 questions of why? Why would they ever do this? Why? How could they? These are questions I could not answer because I never would. You follow that? You ever done that with yourself? You go, how could this person do this? Why did they do it? You won't figure it out because you never would, so of course you can't answer. So all you do is stir yourself up more and more upset. Plus, you want to get overwhelmed? Here's the secret. Ask lots of questions way faster than you can answer them. You go, why do they do this? What's the matter with them? How could they possibly do this? And your brain goes, I haven't even answered the first question. Shut up. But you keep going, and pretty soon your brain's in overwhelm, finding you're just angry. All right? How many can relate to this? Am I the only human who does this? I don't think so. Okay? So what happens is, I finally had to break it, so then I said, okay, I need some empowering questions. So I asked questions like, okay, what's great about this? My brain went, nothing! I said, what could be great about this if I wanted something to be great? And I thought, well, what's great is at least he's using my stuff. And I cracked myself up. I said, what's funny about this? I thought, what's funny about this guy is getting up telling my story, and people know it. You know, this is ridiculous, you know? And then I asked a really good question. Will this even matter 10 years from now? That was the question that changed me. Will this even matter 10 years from now? I went, this won't matter 2 weeks from now. Because I have this belief. My belief is, you never said to yourself, someday we'll look back and laugh about this, you know, because you're so mad. I think, why wait? You know, let's look back and laugh now, you know? So if you ask better questions, and my favorite questions are like, what can I learn from this? What's great from this? What's funny about this? What's ridiculous about this? Will this even matter 10 years from now, 20 years from now? Those questions will get you out of a lousy state. So better questions give a better answer. You want better answers for your life? Got to ask better questions. That's what you got to do. So questions are the second part of evaluations. So now let's see what you've learned. Let's see if we can put this in action.
Welcome back. We've learned a lot of great skills today. So let's take a minute and look at how we can take this information as leaders and use it. Tony just shared with us that destiny is ultimately the result of the actions we take and the decisions we are making. We also learned two elements of how someone filters their evaluations, through the state they're in and the questions they ask. When helping someone create lasting change and defining their problem in solvable terms, we need to be listening for their evaluation process, noticing the state they're in and the questions they're asking themselves, how they're making decisions, and any neural associations they may have linked up that could be causing them pain. If we can help a person see that their model of evaluation may be what's causing their problem, we can then define it in a way that can be solved. Let me give you a personal example of this. Do you remember the CEO I told you about who decided to fire his right-hand man? Well, let me tell you what happened next. He started building a story in his mind where he felt that he could not develop any close rapport anymore with any of his direct reports. The story in his mind was something like, okay, I cannot build any personal connection because that's a source of potential pain. However, the real problem was not building personal connection with his employees. It was the way he was evaluating the situation what was giving him pain. He had associated all these negative feelings towards his direct reports, and through the stories he was building in his mind, he was creating a very disempowering situation for himself. And let me tell you, he's still dealing with this. We're working together to help him become more aware that it's not about the potential future pain of needing to fire someone else again, but it's about the value of the personal connection that he can build and that he should build with his direct reports in order to maximize their ability to fulfill the mission and the successful vision of the firm. As you can see, once we're able to define the problem in a way that's solvable, we will be ready to move on to the next step, creating new empowering alternatives, which you'll learn more about in the next session. But I think you've had enough to think about today, right? It was a pretty long session, so I think you deserve some rest. So let me give you your assignment before we wrap up. For today's assignment, I want you to think of a challenge either you are having or ideally talk to someone else about a problem they are having. As you listen to what's going on, or reflect or journal about your own challenge, I want you to look at what the root of the problem is and to define it in a way that can be solved. So go out now and do your assignment and have fun with it. We'll join Tony again tomorrow for step 5 of the 7 Master Steps, creating new empowering alternatives.